Revelation chapter 20. And I saw an angel come down out of heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. Keep seeing these angels come down out of heaven. And there's different angels that he sees, but this is what John actually saw. And so I think that those angels represented Jesus coming back to the earth. Now, Jesus is not an angel. Hebrews 1 says he's greater than angels. But we also know that he ascended to heaven, and he will return in the same way as he ascended. He will descend from heaven to earth, and we're told he will have all the angels with him. So I think all these visions of an angel coming down from heaven, that's what John saw, but the angel that he saw represented Jesus. And he laid hold on the dragon, the old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut it, and sealed it with a seal, that he should deceive the nations no more until 1,000 years should be established. After this he must be loosed for a little time. So the dragon represents some political power, because we've seen before that it's got heads, it's got horns that represent kings and kingdoms. It's talking about some entity, some grouping of power, of nations, individuals, interest groups that dominates the earth or the land, which I suggested is the land promised to Abraham from the Mediterranean to the Euphrates. And yet it's called the old serpent in that this entity, this grouping of nations or peoples, is similar to the serpent in the Garden of Eden. It is not the same as the serpent in the Garden of Eden, because we learn from chapter 1, verse 1, that this is a prophecy. This whole book is a prophecy about things which are to come to pass. It's not describing what happened in the past. It's looking ahead to that which is in the future. So it's not describing anything that happened in the Garden of Eden. But it is true that this dragon power is the great adversary, the great Satan to God's people, and acts like the serpent did, tempting them to do what it says. And we've read about how the forces connected with the dragon will force people to worship it, and if they don't, they'll kill them or persecute them, and that they tell lies, and that they are against the will and word of God. So these are all the characteristics of the old serpent. So then, this dragon is not killed immediately. I think that's the idea. It is bound. And I saw thrones, and people sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God. That is, these are the people who had been killed, martyred, because of their preaching of God's word, and because they continue to witness like Jesus did. These are the people who had been killed by this dragon, this beast, beheaded them. And you see pictures of radical jihadist Islamists in that very area between the Mediterranean and the Euphrates. You see pictures of them beheading Christians. Beheading is the way that they kill people. So he sees these people, and now the day of judgment has come, and the beheading of those people is going to be judged. And he sees these people, and also those who had refused to worship the beast nor his image, and had refused to receive the mark upon their foreheads and upon their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ in 1,000 years. 1,000 years may simply refer to a long time, because most of the numbers in the book of Revelation are symbolic. It could just mean the kingdom of God. The rest of the dead didn't live until 1,000 years were established. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. On such, the second death has no power. So the idea of the second death is that people die once in this life, as we all will, and those who are responsible to judgment will be resurrected and judged, and the wicked amongst them will die again. The wages of sin is death. But death is unconsciousness. So although they may be judged and they may suffer, yet they will die the second death. But those who are resurrected and given eternal life, they, of course, will not die the second death. So upon these, the righteous, the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with him in the 1,000 years. So they will be king priests. They will both reign and be priests. Now that's rather like Melchizedek, because we're told that he was both a priest of the Most High God and also the king of Jerusalem. It's the same with Jesus. He was of the tribe of Judah, which was the kingly tribe through whom David and his descendants had come, and yet he's also a priest, but he's a king priest. So we will be sharing with Jesus in his work. And when the 1,000 years are established, Satan, this is the dragon that we just read about, this adversary of God's people, will be loosed out of his prison and he will come out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth. Now, that just shows that the earth doesn't mean the whole planet, because the earth, as in the planet, doesn't have four corners, does it? It's a sphere. Whereas if this earth is really the land, and it refers to the land promised to Abraham, the land roughly from the Mediterranean to the Euphrates, well, yes, that makes sense that it's got four corners. So this dragon comes out to deceive the nations that are in those, which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog. Gog of the land of Magog, we read about him in Ezekiel 38. In the Old Testament, to gather them together to the war, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. Well, it's the seed of Abraham who are as the sand of the sea, so these people are kind of a fake seed of Abraham, just as there'll be the real Christ and the Antichrist, the fake Christ. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city. This is Jerusalem. Rather like what happened in the time of Hezekiah, when the Assyrian invasion surrounded Jerusalem but didn't take it and then got destroyed. And fire came down out of heaven and destroyed them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and sulfur, where also are the beast and the false prophet, and they shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Well, that doesn't mean that they will consciously exist. There will be torment, but there will also be the truth of the fact that the wages of sin is death. And so it's like we read recently in Revelation about the smoke of their torment goes up forever and ever. The idea is that throughout eternity, these foolish people will be remembered. There will always be an awareness amongst us that there were some who didn't make it to this wonderful kingdom that we're in. Those who worship the beast, those who took his mark into their minds, into their forehead, and onto their hands, those whose actions and thinking was of the flesh, and therefore they're not here with us in God's kingdom, and we will always be aware of that, I think to remind us that there but for God's grace go I. It was God's grace that saved me and got me here, because not everybody made it. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat upon it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. So I think this is a picture of a new system of things. It's not that heaven is going to run away in fear. Earth and heaven, when they're used together, often refer to a system of things. That's why Isaiah begins his prophecy by saying, "Listen, O earth, listen, heavens." In other words, my message is addressed to the ordinary people, the earth, and also the leaders, the heavens. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before the throne. And the scrolls were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. Now we've been saying that this is the whole theme that started towards the beginning of Revelation, that this scroll of life has got seven seals on it. And just as you open a letter in an envelope by slitting it, not opening one little bit of the letter and then waiting 1,000 years to open the next and then the next, you just open it all together, So with the scroll, these seals that are sealing the scroll, the book of life, the scroll of life, these are all ripped together. And the opening of the seals and then the trumpets that are part of some of the seals, this all refers to events which will happen in the very last days when Jesus opens the book of life. And now finally, that book, that scroll is opened, and the dead were judged out of the things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. So then, clearly the lake of fire is not something literal, because you can't throw something abstract like death into a lake of fire. The idea is that it represents total destruction. Don't forget, this is the book of Revelation. This is symbol. So there will finally be death no more. Once the wicked are destroyed, finally death will be no more. This is the wonderful hope that we have before us. And yet, the dead were judged out of the things that were written in the books. Well, I don't suppose this is in a literal sense, but what it does show is that God is aware of everything that goes on in our lives, and he has made a record. He sees all our suffering for him, all our desire to serve him, and our weaknesses, and our failings. And yet there is this final justice in God, that all that is taken into account in a way that only God can, because only he knows the state of the heart and the real state of a person's thinking. And he, of course, will judge with grace because he wants to save us. It's not going to be like a judge sort of going through this, that, and the other and coming to a conclusion. That is all a metaphor. God, of course, knows everything all the time anyway. This is the second death, even the lake of fire. So, total destruction. That's the picture. This is the wages of sin. And if any was not found written in the book of life, he was cast into the lake of fire. And as I say, this is the description of the end of death. That finally, those who don't want to be in God's kingdom will just be destroyed. It's not a picture of eternal torment, torturing people forever and ever, because God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked, not at all. Instead, it is total destruction. And that's how God's always operated in the past, destroying those who hate him. And so it is finally going to be at the last day. So there won't be eternal torture, and yet it'll just be a huge eternal tragedy that these people all could have been in God's kingdom, but instead they took into their foreheads, into their mind, into their thinking, the mark of the flesh of the dragon, the devil, rather than the seal and the mark of the thinking of Jesus.